Welcome back to the Outreach Project. This is Josh, and today I'm with the substitute teacher,
Dave.
Zach is out on work,
and we had our guests Molly and Dan scheduled, so Dave's filling in. You were a former podcast guest.
I think I'm episode three or four, I think.
Wow.
We're way back.
Wow. We've grown since then. You're welcome.
Yeah.
But yeah, today we're with Molly and Dan. You guys mind just brief introduction on who you are? And
sure. I'm Daniel. I am the Dean of Students for Little Turtle Elementary and Northern Heights Elementary here. And WCCS.
Are any of the students listening?
I hope not. K through five, so hopefully they're asleep by now. But
well, this isn't live.
That's true. It's not live.
Debbie shows it on Sunday mornings. Yeah. So.
But I also coach basketball. I'm the varsity assistant for that. I've been doing that for 8 years, and then I'm the husband of Molly and father of Whitley and Miller. So with all those, our plate's pretty full and love doing all of it. So
yeah. I'm Molly. I'm obviously your wife. I'm a nurse. I work at Lutheran, have for a few years now. We go to First Church. We have for a super long time separately and then now together. And that's where we take our boys. We love the youth program. And yeah, that's how we know you guys.
How long have you helped with the youth program?
I never really left. I graduated high school and then from there started doing trips as a leader in the summers when I was home from school and then just kind of stuck around. I love it.
Yeah, I think I've been serving probably 5, 6, 7 years probably. Mm-hmm. Started off in middle school ministry doing it with Seth Kissinger as my co-leader. So yeah, we've just wanted to get plugged back in because I think First Church Youth Group was a pretty vital part in our growing up in the church. So yeah, we love it.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. So you said vital part of growing up.
Mm-hmm.
You guys both grew up in Columbia City?
Yeah, so I grew up in Columbia City. I went to two different churches growing up, Troy Troy up in Etna Troy Township, and then Trinity Evangelical Presbyterian Church. And then I switched over to First Church when I was a junior in high school, just with some youth group things. And like I said, my friend Seth Kissinger kind of joined over to the youth group with him at that time. But yeah, grew up in the church my whole life, so yeah.
Yeah. I grew up in Cherubusco, technically, until my junior year I switched to Columbia City. But my family switched to First Church when I was in 7th grade. I started the same Sunday at youth group that Luke Deal started. So, yep, he high-fived me when I walked in the door and helped me feel comfortable, and so we never left.
He helped you feel comfortable, and he was new, too.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. I think we bonded over being kind of terrified and overwhelmed.
Yeah, but that's cool.
Yeah.
So how did you guys meet? Like, what's your guys' love story?
Oh.
That's what we want to hear.
It didn't start, but like to give you a little bit of a background, like we both.
This is where we started arguing earlier. Yeah.
So we both went on the New York missions trip together. I was a senior, she was a freshman. But we weren't on each other's radar. I think we were both dating people at the time.
Yeah, I didn't like. I didn't like.
And like timing wise, like God's timing was so perfect for our relationship. Just. Who I was at that time, who she was at that time. So fast forward, I've graduated college. Mm-hmm. She's back from school working at CJ's as a hop, and I get done playing round of 18 holes with some friends and want to get a bite to eat at CJ's. And
the rest is history.
Yeah. But sent her a Snapchat later that night.
Nice.
I'm pretty sure the sad part is I think I had the headset on from playing Fortnite. Fortnite with the boys.
You have to play Fortnite with the boys.
Yeah, so oh,
man. That's a good day.
Yeah, but the pickup line was I'm still full from all that food that I ate or something like that. Yeah. Hook, line, and sinker right there, baby.
And at this point I still wasn't super.
Yeah, she actually tried to get one of the other hops to come wait on our vehicle because I was in the driver's seat and she didn't want to wait on us. Yeah. So,
yeah.
So yeah, it just.
You won me over.
Somehow we started hanging out and she went back to school like
3 weeks,
later and.
Did long distance for a year and a half.
Probably
dated. Where'd you go to school?
I was in Birmingham, Alabama at Samford University. Mm-hmm. So we dated for like 13 months and only spent three of those in the same place.
Jeez.
So. Yeah. It worked out, though.
Yeah. And then you played basketball at Huntington?
Yeah. Yeah, so played basketball there for 4 years. Really loved the experience there. Got plugged into a really good small group with some other athletes. But, yeah, I love Huntington and what they did for me and just the education I was able to get there and where it's kind of led me today. But
big Forrester guy, loves Huntington.
You got your games?
Some, yeah. My coach had left or had retired, so I don't have a ton of connections other than Mitchell Wilson played there for his 4 years, but he's graduated, so I don't have a ton of connections. But they've done a bunch of updating to the facilities, so I've gone back for that. And then both Kyle Philman and Matt Schaus graduated from schools in the conference, so I kind of keep up just because they're involved in it. Yeah. But I'm not super.
And you'll have to go back at the jersey ceremony.
I don't think there will be a jersey ceremony. but yeah, it was good.
Gotcha. And then you guys now, you know, fast forward, you're married. How long have you been married?
Almost 4 years.
Yeah, 4 years this week, yeah. Thursday.
This week, congrats.
Yeah, thank you.
Any plans or?
We have two kids.
Watch the office after the boys go to sleep, probably.
Okay. We've got a couple weddings spaced out. We're just kind of calling them like
date nights.
Yeah. So
it's free food.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, we love weddings.
We might get out and dance at one of them.
Yeah, if you're getting too crazy, you know.
Yeah.
But now you're connected in First Church. What ministry involvement do you guys have?
Yeah, so this coming school year, we will be with the junior class. So obviously, I'm with the girls, and he's with the boys for the most part. So we'll be, I don't know if we'll do Unite Nights and Connect Nights. I'm not sure, but we're excited to get plugged in with the new pastor and his wife. And. Yeah. Kind of got us back on fire a little bit to.
Yeah, it was interesting. We were contemplating not serving this year just because it's our plates, like I mentioned, they are full, and with a second two boys under two, that family night is really important, and we have that opportunity on Sunday nights. But hearing Joe get up there and talk on Sunday and say that he hopes to bring stability and consistency to mm-hmm. our students just kind of was, I think, the nudge that was like, okay, we can't.
Yeah.
We've been with these guys for 2 years. We can't jump ship now.
In this group of girls, I, like, all the way back when I was.
Everybody, too. Like, Landon and, like, you were.
I guess, yeah. So this class of kids, all the way back when I was on launch team, like, in high school, I started serving. Oh. Yeah. I started serving in their first grade Sunday school.
Mm.
So
that's fun.
Yeah, so these kids truly I've had since they were in first grade, the ones that have gone all the way through. So I can't leave them. I love them.
Next year's going to be hard.
Yeah, we're going to cry a lot.
On the graduation party.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those will be the date nights that summer.
More free food. Yeah. Yeah.
But those will be the day. Whitley loves a party during the night. So we'll take it.
Good.
Yeah. But yeah, so we just... I think we're excited.
And we enjoy our team that we serve with Bergman's. Yeah. And yeah, so.
Yeah, I mean, newsflash to you folks. There's a lot of shift in and staffing and whatnot. Yeah. So it's really neat to see, like you said, that stability in the youth group where I was a senior when a youth pastor left, and we've been through like three since then. Mm-hmm. So this will be really neat. Hopefully.
No, I think it's going to be great just meeting them and spending a little bit of time with them. We're really excited. They seem excited and seem to kind of have the same idea of what the ministry can lead to. So we're excited.
Small groups. Are you guys in one with people your age or?
Yeah. So I joined a small group with, some past college teammates of mine, but then also most of them are high school buddies that we're all kind of in the same phase of life. My one college roommate just had their daughter just a few days ago. He was
congrats.
Shout out Devin. Shout out GarageBand. That's what we call the. That's what we call the.
They sit in the garage.
Bible study.
So it's GarageBand.
That's what I'm recording on. So.
Yeah.
So, shout out GarageBand. But he's the last one to join the dad life. So, it's been good just to see those guys and have the accountability and have the encouragement throughout the week. We've worked through a couple books so far, but still in the early stages. It's been good.
Yeah. I'm not in one right now. We're still trying to navigate if he's at something that means I have to be home kind of thing. So we're still kind of figuring that out. I think that's why I so appreciate the girls and youth group now, because as they get older, they become some of that community for me. So that's been really nice.
And you can bring your kids.
Yes, sometimes. Sometimes when we don't need to have serious conversations. But the kids can come and that's super fun. But thankfully, like, my mom and sister and some of my really close friends go to First Church. So that's been nice. Even Sunday mornings when the boys are in the nursery, like, that can be my social community time. So still trying to navigate that, but they're really little and... bedtime comes early, so
And Dan's gotta play pickleball, so.
And coach basketball.
CJ's. Do you still work at CJ's?
I worked at CJ's when I was 39 weeks pregnant with Miller for the last time this summer.
Wow.
Yeah, I thought it would make me go into labor.
Bang. People pay well when they say
they feel really bad for you when you're pregnant.
They tip well.
When you're pregnant and like dying. I thought it would make me go into labor, but instead I just couldn't walk for like 2 days. Yeah.
So. She's like, I think I overdid it.
So occasionally I'm still close with some of the people that work there. And I mean, I started when I was 16, so this would be like the 10th year of me being involved. So we still definitely, Whitley loves hot dogs, so we still.
So does Shane, actually. He mentioned it yesterday night. Yeah.
That's funny. So we go to CJ's.
Yeah. Fun fact, I worked at CJ's for a summer.
Forget about that.
I remember that.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that job?
Were you Fryer?
For the most part, yeah. Fryer dogs and me and my buddy Ben. Shout out Ben, because we're doing that tonight.
Oh my gosh, I forgot about this.
Yes, I was actually with him this weekend. So we both got jobs there. We were both in track, and we would just...
That's what you do.
Get off track.
Yeah.
Go whip some dogs and fries.
I like CJ's because my job...
That's got to be like the worst summer job, to be the fryer when it's hot.
I like
there.
It. It's honest work.
It's got to be like... it's got to be like 15 degrees hotter inside than what it is out.
Oh, yeah.
I like it.
I like CJ's, though, because my day job is like really serious life or death, and then CJ's is hot dogs, so it's way less pressure.
Yeah, until people get stressed out and you tell them. I would always say, guys, we're just a hot dog stand. You don't have people yelling at you. Yeah. Sorry.
We're just a hot dog stand.
Yeah. It was fun. You get to make your own fries sometimes.
Just take a couple.
Low standards for high school jobs.
Yeah, I don't know. It's work. You're not supposed to go and enjoy it completely.
Yeah. I mean, I did it for like a decade now, so.
Yeah. I guess you probably really enjoy your work.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely has its... Moving to this side of education is hard because you see some of the harder stories and the difficult situations that kids come into school with. But yeah, the whole reason why I got into the education is the love that I have for youth. And I just love to be able to build relationships with kids all the way through. I mean, I think at one point when we were kid-free, like, I was somehow plugged in with students kindergarten all the way through senior in our community. Like, I taught. We did Sunday morning, Sunday school with the upper elementaries, and then, like, middle school, high school stuff. So, yeah, I just love youth, and especially youth in our community.
We're passionate about this place.
Yeah. So, trying to make a difference, each kid at a time, but
put that on a shirt, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. So
it's important, right?
Yeah.
Focal years of learning what you believe.
Well, and so. I think I hear it a ton, not so much now that I'm not in the classroom, but like it's important that our kids have solid role models. And a lot of times it would always be like, most times male students, their previous teachers would always say, he needs a positive male role model. And it was funny. One of my past students this last year, who was like administrator appreciation week or something like that. And he wrote me a note. And this was a student that I connected really well with. And he basically wrote me a thank you note and said at the bottom, like, and thanks for being a Christian, ?
If so, you are one,
So, like, obviously, like, I can't come out and proclaim my faith, like, at the pulpit, but, like, I can live differently and I can act differently, and for him to at least think that
that could be the reason, like, that's
who you are.
Yeah.
So, that was probably the first sign that I've ever gotten of, okay, I'm these kids are seeing the way that I act and carry myself. So
when you first started, how many years ago teaching?
This is my eighth year.
What grade did you teach?
I taught first? Third grade all up until last year.
So now they're in high school?
Yeah. Yeah, I think they're sophomores.
We're starting to feel old.
Yeah, they're sophomores this year. So it's like, wait, you, like, a couple of them are on the football team, and they're big, dude, like, could probably beat me up. All right, I don't remember you being like this, but, yeah.
That has to feel kind of crazy.
Yeah, it does. Even, like, especially seeing them, because, I mean, I can kind of keep tabs on them just because I'm at the high school enough, but, like, they show up freshman year, it's like, holy cow, you've grown so much, and... I mean, no freshman really wants to strike up a conversation with their past third grade teacher. So it's like, it's quick conversation, so I don't get to know them super well at this point in their life, but it's cool to see them.
And maybe the grad party, you'll.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah,
we're be going to a lot.
So I came loaded with a bunch of questions. So you guys are young parents, which is really exciting. So, like, how has being a young parent affected your relationship together, but then also with the Lord? Like, how's that?
Yeah.
Good question. Wow.
I know, right?
That's deep. Okay.
I'm a good sub.
Is that your question? Natalie's our production today.
Our live audience.
Shout out Natalie.
Thank you. Shout out Natalie. I'll speak to being a mom has changed like everything for me. I am not, little kids weren't something I was super comfortable with, so just that part in general, I had not like held a baby or
what do you do it as a nurse, do you know?
Oh, I'm with old men.
Okay.
Yeah. So very different.
Okay.
So yeah, just learning the skills of even just like taking care of a baby was a lot for me, and coming home, Whitley just screamed at us a lot, and so we had many, many nights, mornings, we didn't sleep for weeks, of just, I'd be crying and he'd be praying over us, and I have not ever been at a place of just like literally being on my knees of, I don't know how to do this. I know you've trusted me with this child, but I feel like I'm failing and I don't know what I'm doing and I'm exhausted. And yeah, so that just season of bringing Whitley home was the most like desperation I've ever felt for God of, you have to carry me through this because I cannot do it. And up until now, I've kind of been able to do everything else. And so that was a rough season. I would say now it's been super fun because he's getting to the point where he wants to pray for people. And yeah, oh my goodness, it's so cute. He wants to pray for people and he loves his Sunday school class, and all this little light of mine is just constant in our house.
It's a banger.
Yeah. So that's been really sweet because I feel like now I'm less at a stage of desperation and more of kind of this idea of like praying without ceasing. Like I just feel like he reminds me throughout the day of, yeah, we should stop and pray right now, even though we're in the middle of something super random, or absolutely, let's turn Alexa on and listen to Jesus music because why not? And so it's been cool for me that I feel like he's teaching me this of like, absolutely, God can be involved in this. Jesus can come along with us while we go to the grocery store. And so, yeah, that's been really sweet. And thankfully, bringing Miller home, he's a much better baby. So that has just been really sweet to sit back and be like, oh my goodness, we're so grateful for this.
Yeah.
And we have no idea why we were picked for this. And so just this like time of gratitude, I feel like, which I'm so glad that when he's only 3 months, we can feel that and we're not in the trenches as much. But
yeah.
You want to speak to us?
How, what was the us question part of the like, question?
How has being young parents affected your guys' relationship?
Well, I think it's definitely like, we've grown together, I think, in the sense of like, when we first got married, there was definitely a learning curve of, all right, I'm no longer living my life, and she's no longer, like, we're one life. And
especially
then,
doing long distance.
Yeah.
We had no concept of, like...
So the first year of marriage was just like...
Why are you here all the time?
Yeah. So then, like, now you bring home and two boys, and it's just like... Like, if we don't operate as one, things kind of go haywire. But yeah, I think kind of how Molly put it, just Whitley does, just like the innocence of a of a young boy and wanting to learn, it just kind of ignites and sparks that that passion to want to be that role model, to want to be the example of Christian parents. And I like what Shane said a couple weeks ago. It was probably a little longer than that, but like when you bring in a child to your home, it's our job to equip them to become Christians. And I pray that we're able to do that for our boys. And it's some ups and downs, but
yeah. I mean, they
together
just,
we are great as a team. So,
yeah. And I feel like we just had to. We love our boys so much that it's been kind of a process for us to remember to prioritize us first.
Yeah.
Because it's so easy. They need everything. They can't do anything yet for themselves, both of them. And so a lot of times it's like, well, you take him and I'll take him and we'll just meet up at the end and
There's,
see you at bedtime.
There's only a handful of times that I've made Whitley cry.
And one of them
is like, if you hit mom, like you're gonna catch the wrath of dad. So
just learning to still put us first when they need everything has been, but then it makes our time together a lot sweeter.
Yeah, and sometimes it's our time together is completely like vegetation state of mind of, all right, we're just gonna sit. We're not gonna talk. We're gonna just chill.
Yeah, we got 45 minutes in the car the other day without kids, and it was awesome.
We didn't have to listen to This Little Light of Mine, Wheels on the Bus.
Yeah, it was so.
Just take a few wrong turns.
Yeah, but good question.
How has you mentioned a little bit, Dan, but disciplining children, I feel like, could be very difficult because it's important and needed. And it's one of the best ways to love a child.
Yeah.
But I feel like it can be difficult because you see their raw emotion of their upset.
Yeah, it's hard.
We're still figuring this part out.
Well, and it's even like take into account the position that I hold at school. A lot of it is doing discipline, and a lot of it's trying to decipher, like, okay, does this student or does my son at this point in time, does he need grace or does he need a firm action or consequence to try to nix the behavior that we're seeing. And I try to go about it differently, not differently, but take each time for what it is. Like I'm not a black and white person. I'm gonna approach each situation and try to figure out what's going on in that situation to figure out what's best for our kids, because I think you're right, like we want our boys to go out into our community and to be able to be citizens that can what's the word I'm looking for, not provide, but add value to our community.
Not be tears.
Right. I know that they're boys, and like I know who I was as a student, so I'm not expecting our kids to be perfect. We're hoping that they get Molly's educational genes. But like, so I'm not naive to the fact that our boys won't get in trouble in school, but like at the end of the day, if our boys can treat people with respect and show them the love of Jesus, I think I'll be a happy father. So
we're still figuring it out. I feel like right now with Whitley, he's 18 months.
Yeah.
So trying to figure out what he even understands half the time. Like, we can tell him not to kick Miller 17 times, and then I'm like, wait, do you even know what kicking is? Like, you know that you're kicking him, but you've never heard this word. So that's been kind of hard to navigate. Like, how do I discipline you if I can't even figure out if you know what I'm saying right now? And I'm just bad at it. When he cries, I feel terrible. I've been sending Daniel into the room to talk to him.
People might think I'm mean for it, but like if it's time to discipline and you're 18 months old and you don't walk out crying, I didn't do it right.
And I hate that.
You know, they learn though.
Yeah.
Oh, he puffs his lip and I'm like, all right.
But it is it is hard because like you tell him to sit on the chair and like he looks at you and like slowly starts to slide out of the chair. Like, get in the chair. So yeah. It's hard, but like you said, I think in those moments it's important to hold him accountable. And
a couple of times, like, we just have talked about where we want them to end up as people and recognizing that does start now. So we have actually no idea what we're doing with parenting, but we know what our end goal is. And so it's very situational of like, okay, how do we handle this right now, hoping that you're a productive person in society, that you love Jesus with your whole heart, that you're kind and people respect you. Like, if we want you there, what are the little things we're doing now to get you there?
I will say too, like, I'll give my mom a little bit of a...
Oh, yeah, because mother rocks.
Shout out to my... So,
shout out.
Yeah, we're doing tons of shout outs. Shout out, mom. So the boys go out to my mom and dad's house on the days that we're both at work, and she does a great job with them. Very similar to how we would do things here at our house.
But she's been a parent before, so we're like, okay, your kids like turned all, out okay, like so all we should
the,
do that.
The cool tricks that he can do, like sign language and like all that, we give the credit to mom because it's all her. But yeah, and I think that's important though too, like having those different pieces, those different people in your life to pour into your kids. We've got so many people that pour into our kids, like just off the top of our head, like Shelly Eberly makes a point to come up to our boys every week at church in the lobby. Richmond's, obviously Molly's family. It's not just our upbringing. It's our church. It's our families. Yeah. It's our friends. So,
and when your kids are frustrated with you when they're older, and say they need someone to talk to. Right. They can reaffirm
right.
essentially what you taught them in the household the way you would want it to be. So
I remember my aunt told one of my cousins, she said, if you ever get mad and you want to run away to my house. So I mean, like, just that, it reiterates what you just said of you need to have people in your lives that you can go to, and they might even say your mom and dad are overreacting, or I don't know, just say what you're,
hopefully they say you're right.
Yeah.
We're gonna do everything right, so.
Did you ever run away?
No, that she didn't, she didn't say that to me. No, I didn't run away. But
did you run away?
No, my mom said if I ran away, she would come get me and take me to juvie, so I'd appreciate where I came from.
Yeah, I was not.
That's Paula.
Did you run away?
Yeah, twice.
Oh, like run away, or like angrily pack the bag? Because I did that.
No, like.
Oh, you packed a suitcase.
Yeah, like you throw your stuffed toys and like a can of soup in
there. Natalie's jaw dropped. No, I packed and ran about a half mile. And
how old are you?
It's because we went to Taco Bell, and I didn't want Taco Bell.
So
we
got really reasonable.
We got home, and I left, and I was probably 8, 9.
What did they do? What did your parents do?
Let me, and then I eventually came back. Like, see?
Actually, that Taco Bell sounded pretty good.
No, I never...
Yeah, my mom listens to these, so mom, I do appreciate that. They were really good at discipline. I wasn't a good kid. So,
but you turned out good, so they did something right.
Well, there's many times where just nothing would fly, and that's, I mean, credit to them, because it probably would have been so much easier to let something fly. And, it may be hard, but it doesn't mean it's incorrect.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I would say my parents were more strict with me, but as I got older, one thing I loved is they, and now older, not like little kid, but they always gave me the why behind decisions they were making. And so, like, for example, my curfew was 10 o'clock, and I got so upset one night, wanted to be out late because I was in high school and that's fun. And my dad finally said, Molly, it's not because we don't trust you, but on your way home, you would have to drive past a bar. And what if people are drinking and driving? So we would rather you get home early before that's a factor. And so...
Did you like that answer?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah, I appreciated that because I thought, okay, they do trust me. And it's actually because they super love me that they want me to be home. Because I think in my teenage mind, it was like, what do they think I'm going to do? They think I'm going to be bad? I had all these questions about them not trusting me, and it had nothing to do with that at all. It was actually... No, I love you, and I want you home safe. So not that that is applicable all the time, but as I got older, that kind of put out the fire a little bit when I was not understanding decisions they were making. But Daniel's had to tell me, because sometimes I try to explain things to Whitley, like, I'm doing this because I want you to be safe and all these things. And he's like, Molly, he doesn't even know words, okay?
Just say no.
Make him cry. Yeah. Yeah.
He's yell. Like, that's not a word. He's saying no. So we're learning, but.
You were a good kid, right?
Ish. I think I was a good, like, little kid. And then, like, middle school, high school, I was a moron. And then I got better in college and. I've leveled out.
So how did they deal with you being a moron?
I mean, I just got in trouble a lot. I just got yelled at frequently. If I did something wrong, they let me know. It wasn't a secret, that's okay. For sure.
So what would you do the same or different from your parents?
Honestly, I would do... My parents were a very, like, no-nonsense household. So if we... Trying to think. If we broke one of the rules that we knew was a rule and we understood it was a rule and we broke it, like there was a consequence and we already knew what the consequence was going to be. Which was big. I remember the one time I was playing music off of Pandora because that used to be the thing.
Yeah, that was a thing.
On my iPod Touch.
It's still a thing, no?
My not dad for, uses Pandora. Yeah,
for boomers.
Yeah. Shout out Rick.
But I had, I don't know, it was like day and night radio or something like that. And one of the songs came on and there was a pretty bad word. And I was inside. I left my iPod Touch outside.
Aww.
And I was inside. My dad came storming in and I lost the iPod Touch for a month or whatever.
Yeah.
And I knew that was going to happen. I knew I shouldn't have been listening to the music, but... so I love that approach of just like, if you do this, this is going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And then following through.
Yeah. Right.
Follow through is important.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's another one on your list?
Oh, one of my, okay. So as, Christian parents, and maybe you guys haven't experienced too much yet, but, have there been difficulties just even being parents who are Christian versus like if you didn't subscribe to, you know, the teachings of Christ and everything.
I would say thankfully the people we spend the most time with the boys are believers. So I feel like we've not experienced this, at least that I am thinking of, yet. I mean, the boys are so little, and we're pretty picky with what we do with our time with them and who we spend that time with. So I feel like that has kind of sheltered them and given them a little bit of a bubble right now of... They're surrounded by people who are believers in Christ-centered and are going to encourage that. And obviously, as they get older, that will change. We want that to change. We want them to experience that a little bit. But right now, we get to pick who they're with, and we are pretty protective of who they spend time with. And I would say if we're not around believers, then we probably don't have... the boys with us, just with the age they're at.
But even then, I'd say most people we hang out with are believers.
I would say even like in my job, I work with people that aren't believers, so there are some things that we do different, but it's not ever gotten major pushback. But like plenty of my coworkers their kids aren't in the nursery or singing the same songs, and so there's little things like that, but I wouldn't say I've had any major pushback of I'm raising my kid in the church and I'm super passionate about it and someone else is going against that. Thankfully, I'm sure it'll happen.
Yeah, I haven't.
Yeah.
And we're so thankful too that Molly is so close with her sister Meredith, who on her days off, she gets to go and spend time with her and Charlotte and Sawyer.
How many kids do they have?
Two.
They have two now,
So, yeah.
And I would say I would anticipate a little pushback, like when they're in school, And
well, and I think one thing that we've talked about that I would see a lot of, or the most pushback is when it comes to like if our boys are in athletics and, mm-hmm. and something falls on a Sunday, like we've talked about how we want to make sure that our boys prioritize and know that church is going to come before your athletics on a Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. And not just on a Sunday morning, but like nowadays I feel like youth sports, it's like go, 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 go. Mm-hmm. And we just want to make sure that.
So I still feel like most of it's hypothetical.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. I do like that we're thinking about it because we don't want to be having the boys in middle school and like, oh, sorry, you can't play in that game because it's on a Sunday morning. And instead, our boys will know from the start. That's just the expectation. Mm-hmm. So.
And if you get flack or whatever, you know you're doing every single thing correct.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, we're passionate. I mean, we both grew up in sports, and we know that's not something that we want our kids to have before Christ. So, but it takes being super intentional with it right now, I think.
Yeah.
So.
Interesting. Because you, big-time basketball player.
Yeah. We love athletics. We love sports.
Well, I think it's just, it's my mom always used to say, like, basketball is what you do. It's not who you are. And I think as I went into college, it kind of reversed its role. Basketball became kind of who I was. And I had some success at Huntington. And it kind of blew my head up. And I don't want that for our boys. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I just... Mm-hmm. As great as sports are and the lessons that it can teach, at the end of the day, it's nothing.
That doesn't mean they can't be good either.
Yeah, oh, trust me. If they want to be good, we'll be good.
They'll be great.
Yeah. So.
But they'll be at church on Sunday.
Yeah, we've got a basketball hoop in the living room, and I, you want to shoot some hoops? You want to shoot some hoops?
Do you dunk on them?
No, not yet. But I have
that's part of the reason why he comes out crying. Yeah.
I have told Molly that if they want to win, they're going to have to play her because I...
Isn't that mean?
I'm not.
No!
If they want to win, they'll have to play me.
Well, you'll let them win. Oh. You'll be able to beat them. I won't let them win. At anything.
I remember my first time beating my dad in pickup.
Really?
That will be when Daniel cries.
This is kind of off topic, but my sister and I, my sister's older than me, and we used to play one-on-one, and to the point where, like, I couldn't beat her growing up, and then it just made me so mad that we got into fights, and we just couldn't get... Mom and Dad finally made the rule you're not allowed to play each other because it always ends in someone throwing a punch or... And if it was me throwing the punch, then I'd get in big trouble.
Yeah, that's extra trouble. Yeah, that's...
So... Yeah. I can definitely foresee some arguments happening with our boys growing up about that, but...
They're close enough in age, though.
Yeah.
I hope they're just best friends. But I'm sure there will be some competition between them. But wishful thinking. I think they're going to be best friends forever.
Oh, no. We're going to be, all right, you're over here, you're over here. We're going at it.
This is
with love. In love.
Yeah.
In love.
This is why parenting has changed our relationship.
That's fun.
I mean, I got more.
Yeah, no, okay. You're doing good.
So,
oh boy.
We'll go off parenting, give you guys a break for a second.
Yeah, we don't know anything.
Did you guys know
that
Dave's going to be a parent?
We did.
Well, hopefully.
Yeah, well,
Lord willing.
Yeah.
I thought you guys just dropped some big news.
No.
I was oh my God. Yeah.
No, I mean, you could tell by the theme of these questions.
So, looking back at, like, your younger selves, if you could give advice to your, like, so you're going with juniors. If you give advice to your junior self, what would it be?
I don't know if this counts as advice, but I think at that age, I saw church and Christ as a big set of rules that kept me from doing what I wanted. And I saw following Christ as this like big hardship of, but I'm missing out on this and I can't do this. And the Bible says I'm not allowed to do that. And I feel like now, 10 years removed from that stage, that now I see the commandments and following Christ as freedom, and have realized that it truly is the greatest way to live. And I love that when I follow the commandments, my day goes better. Yeah. And when, like, I just feel like I've noticed, like, oh, then when I don't know. I just feel like I used to see it as a set of rules that kept me from a lot. And now I enjoy it. I feel a lot of freedom. I feel just confident in decision making. And
yeah,
I love following Christ, and I truly feel like it's the best way to do things. Like, our lives just seem to work out when we're following Christ. And I like that.
I think I would go back and tell myself, and I know that this is easier said than done, but like, to play forward the decisions that you're going to make and how they would affect you, your future self. Just because there was things in my life, and not so much as a junior in high school, but again, like in my college years, of decisions that impacted my future self, that if I went back and could redo it, would 100% do it differently. And like I said, it's easier said than done to say, stop, think this decision through and see how it's going to affect you, even if it's tomorrow, even if it's a week from now. But yeah, because I mean, at this age, if juniors in high school, they're faced with, all right, am I going to go to a high school party where there's alcohol? Am I going to do these things that could have some serious consequences? And I think it's easy for kids to, and I mean, it's easy for humans to fall into that pressure of wanting to fit in and wanting to do what everybody else is doing. And I think it's important. And one of the things that I would certainly do is just go back and try to reiterate to myself, is this worth it? Mm-hmm. So.
That's good.
What about you?
Me? You have to answer after this.
Okay.
I would kind of like Dan, but share with my younger self the seriousness of sin, how it truly separates you from God and leads to spiritual death. Along the lines of that, to not just seek how close can you get to sin without sin.
Yeah.
But how close can I, or how far can I run away from sin and get to God? Obviously I know consequences of my sins now. So just like you were saying, that the impact your younger self's decisions make.
Yeah. I like what you said there, because I feel like that was me kind of in those high school, college years of like, all right, I know what's right and what's wrong, but like, how close can I get before it's sinning? You know what I mean? Like, so that's, I like how you put that.
Yeah. And then, I mean, when you know that, you truly know your absolute need for Christ.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple in that sense. What about you?
I think I would say something along the lines of like, there's no amount of good that I can do that can outweigh the bad. You know, like, obviously I was a moron in high school and did a lot of stupid things.
So obviously.
super obvious. Natalie's over here, but then I would try to like make up for it, right? I went to a smaller Christian school, so it's like, oh, we'll start an apologetics club, and like, that'll earn me some brownie points with God. I don't think that was like the intentional thought, but kind of like in the back of my mind, that was the thought, oh, I can outweigh the bad I did yesterday mm-hmm. by doing this,
yeah.
By going to this group or going to this service or saying this at church. When in reality, like the only thing I contributed to my sin or to my salvation was my sin.
Mm-hmm.
And then Christ, on the other hand, outweighs everything, right? His goodness outweighs all of my sin. Mm-hmm. And that's the only way to salvation. I just went down a path of trying to be good enough, the classic, the legalism. And so, yeah.
It's like men's dinner yesterday, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Change of directions. What are some spiritual influences you guys have? Whether that's...
That's one of my questions.
Okay. Whether it's a book that you've read before, obviously the Bible, but not that. It could be a pastor, it could be a podcast, movie, whatever. And I want to hear, like, maybe someone that you know personally, but then also maybe...
Sure.
Off the top of my head, I would say, for us as a couple at least, we love Jordan and Amanda Chapel dearly, and they did...
Shout out,
J. Amanda.
Yes, we love them. They did our premarital counseling, and we were... living by them for a while, so, and then served under them when they were the youth pastors here. So I would say them as a couple have really helped shape our mindset of marriage, and just, I don't know, they taught us a lot and helped us learn about each other and how to communicate, and we're very honest about things we would face in marriage. And so I would say, as a couple at least, that's who I think of.
Yeah.
For myself, I think at least the big, like, bulk of me coming to Christ and starting to grow in that was my time in First Church youth group. I had two small group leaders, Lindsay and Trisha, that were with us from, I started in seventh grade, and they were with us all the way through senior year. They were at our weddings, they met our babies, and so that has been... And now Lindsay gives us her boys' clothes.
Yeah.
So I just feel like that has been a really constant relationship for me. I feel like in seventh grade is when I kind of came to know Christ, and they were there from the start until now. So I'm really grateful for that. Outside of people personal to me, the pastor of the church when I lived in Birmingham, his name is Joel. I didn't know him personally, it was a big church, but he was just awesome. He shepherded his church well for me to not know him personally, and I still felt very led by his teachings. And yeah, I feel like I left that church knowing so much more about scripture and understanding the Bible so much more. And so I'm really thankful for those times in college. There you go. I'll keep thinking.
Yeah, I think, I mean, there's a handful of people that poured into me. Individually, my college coach, Coach Platt, I think the biggest people, and it's as cliche as it is, are my mom and dad, and just the example that they are as a Christian marriage, as a Christian man and a woman. Like, they get up every morning and do devotions together. My mom has always been there to support our family in times of heartache, and just always reassuring us that God is sovereign and God is in control of what's happening in our lives. I think I can't not mention mom and dad in a question where it talks about someone who's played a big impact on my life. In terms of like reading, I don't know. I think the books that we've read in our small group, we've tried to find. We're like I said, we only started a couple months ago, but they're pretty light in terms of like we're not getting super wordy, or I'm not the smartest person in the world.
You are.
So we gotta keep.
So sad.
She's valedictorian, and I'm trying to like make half like top of half of my class.
You're but like still smart.
No, but like keep conversation.
I thought she tried a lot harder.
No, she's like, she can like read something one time, and it's just like. In there, try to win an argument against her. It's impossible.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's like, well, you said a week ago this, and you didn't. So, I'm not picking out that, but
what else?
Yeah.
Keep
going. No, but like,
cut.
Yeah, we read a book by Craig Rochelle. We're reading one. Called the Titus 10, but just basically like leadership books on how to how you can lead your family, how you can lead yourself in order to lead your family, and I would say those in recent times have kind of impacted routines here at home. Yeah. Reading has always been a struggle in terms of like cracking it open and sitting down, mm-hmm. and at least for me, definitely an area where I can grow. But yeah.
Well,
do you guys have any books that?
Oh, I'll let you go.
I know you're like the wizard of books.
Wizard of books.
Because you have like, don't you like rate them and everything?
I did that last year.
Okay.
Yeah. You did?
Yeah. I've read like / listened to. I spent a lot of time in the car, so a lot of it is audiobooks.
I could do that.
You just don't.
I don't have. Yeah.
His commute's 5 minutes.
Yeah,
so
my commute is 5 minutes that way and 7 minutes that way.
I think like the most, I'm trying to think, the two most recent ones I've read, one I read when I listened to, The War on Children by John MacArthur.
Okay.
Came out this year, just basically about like the culture right now is against children.
Mm.
And the enemy has just formed everything. In the media and cartoons and everything to be against children.
Yeah.
And how as parents do we combat that? How as a church and youth group leaders and Sunday school teachers, how do we combat that? Mm. So that was a really interesting lesson. And then Conversion is at this point probably like one of my all-time favorite books. Mm. It's by, who's the guy that actually writes it?
Well, it's Nine Marks. But
it's Nine Marks Ministry, but...
I can't tell you.
I can't remember the guy that actually wrote it. It's not like a difficult read. Each chapter, it's like a little book.
It's like 100 pages.
Yeah. But I mean, each chapter is just like, whew, man, it's just solid meat of what does a genuine conversion look like?
Hmm.
And how does that play out in your family and church and church leadership and your job? It's been. Okay.
It's pretty weighty.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It is. It's a really good book, though.
Is it my turn?
Yeah.
I've been asked this quite a few times, because I love that question.
Yeah.
It's always, what about you? My go-to podcast is always the Becoming Something by Jonathan Pacluda and his church down in Waco, Texas. The G3 podcast, when they make episodes.
Yeah.
If you're listening, G3,
so they upload them to the app, but not the Spotify.
Yeah.
Anymore.
Well, I've been checking the app, and I haven't been finding any new ones. But
G3 is great. I don't know if you guys have heard of them.
No.
We'll share it afterwards. They're a really cool ministry.
Okay.
Cool. So yes, they have a good podcast.
I read Conversion with you. I started late. I'm currently reading Case for Christ. I started that a while ago with Addie's dad, but that we both got a little busy, so now I'm going through again. I'm also reading Why Do I Do What I Don't Want to Do? Which is, I forget the verse in Romans, but it's essentially just Paul saying, do what I don't want to do, even though I know I shouldn't do it, whatever. So it's just about the weight of sin, and it goes through not the seven deadly sins, but it groups them into like four different parts of the book. So that's a good one. And then if I'm just driving, I have an audiobook on the G3 called Stand, which, controversial, but it's what the Bible thinks of the social justice movement. If you guys want to get political, we could, but
Natalie said no.
So there's that, and then I'll throw on one of those podcasts a sermon of MacArthur or Sproul or Spurgeon or whatever. I haven't listened to Spurgeon, it's more reading, but yeah.
Cool.
One more question.
Oh boy.
This is gonna be a good one.
The grand finale.
And then we'll hit them with the grand finale, but
So I feel like something I experienced. Did I just unplug it again?
You're good.
Something I experienced a lot. I did. In youth group especially. Just because high school is such an interesting time for a lot of kids, their faith journey. Time and time again, it's the I don't feel God right now. You know, when I pray, I don't feel anything. Reading scripture is a chore, and just kind of that's like a faith that's stagnant. What advice would you give either to that kid, that student, or even an adult? Because, I mean, we all go through seasons of our deserts and whatnot.
That is a good one.
Yeah.
Do you want to go first?
Have you been asked that?
No.
I would... Again, it's obviously easier said than done, but it's... In one of the books that we were reading, it said, if you miss one day, don't miss two. If you miss 2 days, don't miss three, type of a mentality. But at the same time, like, to the point of I don't feel God, or I don't hear God speaking to me, like, I believe that you have to be actively pursuing Him. As not you have to be, I think God can speak to whomever he pleases, but like,
it's easier to hear.
Yeah, if you're wanting to feel led by the Holy Spirit, like, we need to be actively pursuing Him. And I think of a time where we were from our Bible study group, we were talking about how we need to be the light of Jesus in our workplace, and how we want to pray for an opportunity to just show the love of Jesus to someone. And it's probably the closest that I have felt that God was speaking to me to talk to this person. So we're sitting in the workroom of Northern Heights, and this lady's husband had been sick and not doing well. And I'm not a person to engage in those conversations, or just really any conversation. Like, I don't do small talk typically. I was facing this way, she was facing that way across the room, and I just constantly felt like, all right, you guys talked about it in small group, you need to act on it. So I said, hey, how's it going? How's your husband doing? And that was it. And I walked out of the room, and it's just like, that wasn't anything. Like, you didn't show the love of Jesus. Like, you just said hi. So I felt like him calling me back to that room of saying, hey, I just want to let you know that I've been thinking of you, I've been praying for you and your husband, I hope things get better. And I don't know if anything happened with that or if that impacted her, but I just know that I think because, I just felt led to say something to her, and yeah, I don't want to say because I was doing this. That's not how it works. But
again, it's not a transaction.
Yeah, yeah. So,
yeah. But your ear was like tuned to listen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you repeat it again?
So like to the student or to the adult, that the believer that just feels a distance from God, it's okay. Kind of in that desert season.
I would say I have seen this with students, I guess, in a different light. I feel like every week at the end of youth group where it's like, what are you going to do this week? Hmm. What are you changing this week? And it's often, I'm going to get up and I'm going to read my Bible every day. And then I'm going to listen to 3 worship songs and I'm going to pray. And it's when they're feeling distant from God. And when I was in high school, and even college some, when I felt distant, it always was, okay, what are these works that I'm going to do to feel that closeness again? And so then it's like, oh, I had a really good week. I read my Bible 5 times. Mm-hmm. Well, what did you read about? What did you learn? What did God speak to you? And so I feel like what I would say to a student is feeling distant. Yes, I want you in your Bible. I want you to be spending quiet time with God, but I don't want it to be on your to-do list. I don't want it to be something where your value of yourself and how you feel that God views you is based on if you did X, Y, and Z throughout the week. And you didn't just succeed this week if you read your Bible 5 times, and you didn't fail this week if you didn't read it all. So what I would say to a student is just that closeness doesn't come from your to-do list. I would say one thing I'm so grateful I'm starting to learn and have learned in my faith is I am swayed by my feelings often. I don't know what it is, but that is just something where I'm up and I'm down, and I often am swayed by feelings, and that can come from I feel close to God or I feel far from God. And one thing I'm learning is God is just so constant. He's so consistent. And I'm going like this, but he is straight across. And so feeling far from God, I'm really trying to adjust that, and I'm learning. And I'm just grateful that I figured out that relationship doesn't come from how I'm feeling. It's rooted in him, in his pursuit of me. And yeah, so I feel like for a long time I was giving myself the credit in my relationship with Christ and was basing it off of how well I was doing. And you feel distant most of the time when you're doing things that way. Absolutely. So flipping that has been good.
I think one thing I would say to high school students, and I don't know if this goes off of what your question, but the questions you asked, but it just came to my mind of like, I was always the person of, okay, well, I'll do this when I get to the Christian college that I'm attending, or I'll do this when I get married because I want to be a godly husband, or I'll do this when I become a father because I want to be a Christian role model. Like, at the end of the day, like, all of those things that I was saying I was going to do is for an exterior factor, like, because I'm going here, because I'm marrying you, because I'm a dad, like, at the end of the day, it comes down to, do I want a relationship with Christ? Am I willing to pursue that? I think that's kind of what I would say to young Christians is like if we want to pursue this, like, don't wait for the next thing to happen in your life to say, all right, now's the time. Yeah. And that's not to say like I still have dry seasons and still fail to open the Bible, but Yeah, I think that would be the...
Yeah, that's probably the biggest thing that, like, almost slapped us in the face becoming parents. Like, all of a sudden...
Yeah.
There is no, like, oh, we would do this. Now it's like, you do it or you don't. Mm-hmm. And their eternity is determined by that. Yeah. Not that we save them, but we equip them. And so it really, like... All of a sudden, it was like, oh, my goodness, what are we going to do?
I think the biggest slap in the face was, I don't know what group of seniors it was, but we did, like, senior Sunday at youth group one night, and, like, you go down the line, and it was like, my mom and dad, my mom and dad, my mom and dad, and then it's just like, oh, gosh.
Like, we got to get ourselves together here.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, I don't know. That gets off the question you asked, but.
Well, thank you, guys. Yeah. Appreciate the time and opening up the garage.
Yeah, absolutely.
Welcome.
We do end with the same final question every time, and it's just a thing that really does share kind of who you are and your personality, but it's also fun. So if you had no limits monetarily or time restraints, where would your dream vacation be? We want to know where you're going, who you're bringing, what you're doing.
Well, I would bring him to a lot of places, but he wouldn't come.
Why'd you start with that?
I guess I would.
Yeah. Well, I would bring him, but...
I would love for him to come, but he would not attend.
You didn't start with, I'm going to Cabo. You said, not Dan.
No,
if I could force him to enjoy himself,
I would go.
No, there are...
I would just... No, just say your place.
Yeah, where are you going?
Oh my gosh. I would do, like... the one-year cruise that people are signing up for where they're going to, like, 70 countries in a year. See, that's what I'm saying. Like, if
but we also have to backtrack, like, in the story.
This is my dream.
I know, but... she wanted to, like... When we first started dating, and, like, she didn't know... Like, we had to have scheduled vacations out because she wanted to travel the world, and I showed her just how great Whitley County is. So but anyway, tell your dream.
So yeah, I would go on one of those like 1 year cruises where you like live there and it's all inclusive and you do whatever you want and you go to like 70 countries, you see the whole world, and I would love for you to join me, but I know you wouldn't. So I'd probably bring my sister and my mom. They're fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
Not your dad?
Well, Vacation Rick is super fun. So
is Rick not fun?
It's a known thing in the family, Vacation Rick.
Yeah, like when vacation starts, he just comes alive. So yeah. Shout out, Rick. So yeah, Rick could come, assuming he's going to be Vacation Rick for the entire year, which would be
that's
a high
just
standard.
Rick then, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I think... mine wouldn't be as extravagant as that.
You just stay in Whitley County
like
Fortnite.
We named our kid. We named our kid Whitley, so
I think mine. Well, first, I'm not leaving the country. I've left the country, but the United States has everything to offer that you need.
No, so, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
Kangaroos.
You don't need kangaroos.
They're in Fort Wayne. Have you seen them?
I would. I've always wanted to go like out west and like. See not all of them, but like see some of the famous national parks.
Why not all of them?
I guess there's no.
Yeah.
But, he legit actually would not want yeah. to do this.
And then I would probably
he would
wanna,
stay here.
I would go to Hawaii, just because that would be I think an awesome trip. And then my grandma is like a well-seasoned traveler, and she said the best trip that she's ever been on is a cruise up to Alaska. So I
would
probably...
Well, that would be on our one-year cruise.
I'd probably wrap the trip up with, like, hit Hawaii and Alaska on the way back. So...
He gets nervous when we, like, pass the county signs where it's, like, leaving Whitley County and doing
Kosciuszko. I'm comfortable on a plane now, but, like, I don't think I could do a cruise. Like, I follow...
Your cruise is a part of your plan on this trip. No,
well,
just like a day boat trip.
Yeah. Like I
can't get to Alaska.
Every once in a while, there's like those videos of the North. Have you seen the videos of the North Sea and how big those things are? It's just
I get it.
This dude has rabbit holes of videos.
What are your guys' trips?
Oh, I've been asked this too many times, but
then come up with a new one. What's your least favorite trip?
My go-to would be, this is a dream, I understand, field access to the Lions Super Bowl.
Ooh, that would be fun.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Interesting. I would love to spend the Burr months in Ireland. I think so September, October, November, December.
Cool. The Burr months.
The Burr months, yeah.
I thought you meant Burr as in cold.
Well, kind of.
B-U-R-N-D-E-R. And then there's a tour on the south side of Ireland where you can go to all the different filming spots that they film Star Wars at.
Oh, cool.
So I would love to do that.
Okay.
So, what does Ireland have? Like, why the colder months? Is it more pretty?
I think it'd just be way more pretty. It's already like a really pretty, because it just rains all the time, so the grass is like super green and everything. But I think during the fall it would be really
pretty.
It's
also extremely cloudy though.
Yeah, when we went it was like bright and sunny. Yeah, I went for 13 days I think when we went in college.
Nice.
So yeah, meet up with some cousins there, it'd be fun.
Well, thank you guys again.
Yeah, thanks for
taking
having
time
us.
And joining us. Any closing remarks?
Go Eagles.
There you go. I was going to say thanks for doing this. It has it's been cool to just be able to get to know people in our church better. I feel like it's another thing. I love that our church is starting to
It's almost
to
like
feel.
An outreach that you're doing.
Sometimes he speaks, and I really wish he wouldn't.
He said the name!
That's a wrap. That's all I got.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Shout out you and Zach for letting me be the substitute.
Yes.
I appreciate it.
Yes.
Thank you, Zach.
If you want Dave for a substitute, because Zach and I do have contradicting schedules often, if you want Dave or a substitute often, so we can get more out there, you know, what, Natalie?
Nothing's going. Keep rolling.
Podcast takeover.
No, you know, let us know. But thank you guys for watching, listening. I can't tell you when we'll see you, but we'll see you later. Bye.